This is the More Than Right podcast, and I'm your host, Steve Lopez. Since Donald Trump rode down that gaudy gold escalator in June of 2015 to announce his run for the presidency, conservatives and leftists alike have dismissed his populist message the same way they dismissed the forgotten Americans affected by job-exporting free trade policies and the cost-of-living hardships brought on by environmental climate change policies. In other words, the bipartisan elites whose policies destroyed American manufacturing and are presently killing U.S. energy production were stunned when Trump defeated Hillary Clinton in November of 2016. Well, these same forces were equally stunned when the man they all wrote off as gone and forgotten in 2020 handily defeated his Republican primary rivals in the Iowa caucuses. Trump edged out his GOP rivals by a record 30 points. This despite frigid winds dropping temperatures to 30 degrees below zero. According to Fox News, Trump received 77% support from MAGA Republicans, 63% from Iowans unpolluted by toxic anti-Semitic university educations, 59% from rural Iowans, another 59% from white evangelicals, and 54% from those under 30 years of age. The normal, forgotten people of Iowa braved below-zero temperatures to register their disapproval of America's corrupt bipartisan status quo. They voted in favor of revolutionary, some call it insurrectionist, MAGA populism. Presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy announced he was dropping out of the race and threw his support behind Trump.
It is a 1776 moment right now. And you want to know, what does it mean to be a Republican today? It means we believe in the ideals of 1776. Ideals like freedom and merit and the pursuit of excellence. That you get ahead in this country, not on the color of your skin, but on the content of your character and your contributions. End affirmative action. End DEI. We are done with the nonsense. Send it back home. It means you believe in the rule of law. And I say this as the kid of legal immigrants to this country. That means your first act of entering this country cannot break the law, and that is why we need to use our military to secure our own southern border in this country. That's what it means to stand for the rule of law in the United States of America. It means the people we elect to run the government needs to be the ones who actually run the government, not the shadow government in the deep state that runs the show today. This man is going to get in there this time around and actually shut down that deep state. Not messing around this time anymore. That's how we win this war in this country.
Ramaswamy also said, Washington Republicans, quote, recite slogans they memorized in 1980, or criticized left-wing culture without offering an alternative, unquote. That last sentence is a brilliant and succinct takedown of a party that's never been able to move beyond Ronald Reagan, or Rush Limbaugh for that matter. Their brand of conservatism was rejected by the new base of the GOP that nudged aside timid conservatives who have consistently thrown their support behind such pathetic presidential candidates as Senator John McCain and Mitt Romney. McCain and Romney represent the sniveling, compromising, and bipartisan Republicans that work hard to sustain the Democratic Party's agenda. Conservative Republican voters conveniently forget that it was McCain whose Senate vote saved Obamacare from repeal, and Mitt Romney who voted to impeach Donald Trump. Both Republicans served in government many years. Both men ran failed presidential campaigns. Trump, who never served a day in elective office, defeated former First Lady, U.S. Senator, and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Trump's victory was not only a psychic wound to Hillary Clinton and Democrats, but it also sent Clinton's Amen Corner in the mainstream media into a tailspin. And so did Trump's recent Iowa blowout. After $250 million spent, Trump's GOP rivals, Governor Rick DeSantis and Ambassador Nikki Haley, have no path to the GOP presidential nomination. Trump is the 800-pound gorilla. Press reports say the Biden White House sent memos to major news outlets demanding they lighten up when reporting polls concerning Biden's dropping approval ratings, now hovering at around 33%. And speaking of polls, the memo expressed the Biden campaign's concern over coverage of the New York Times Siena College poll. It shows Trump defeating Biden by 10 points, quote, in 5 of the 6 most important battleground states 1 year before the 2024 election, suffering from enormous doubts about his, Biden's, age and deep disaffection over his handling of the economy and a host of other issues, unquote. Things can only get worse. Seeming to hold back tears, MSNBC's Rachel Maddow stammered through her network's projected winner of Iowa's Republican primary.
NBC News can now project at this hour at 8:33 p.m., 7:33 Central Time, 8:33 in the East Coast, 7:33 Central Time, that former President Donald J. Trump will be the projected winner in the Iowa caucuses for the 2024 presidential election. Again, about 33 minutes after the doors closed in the Iowa caucuses, with very few actual results in, but based on the results that we do have and the entrance polling that we do have, NBC News now projects that Donald Trump will be, at the end of the night, the winner of the Iowa caucuses.
As a triumphant Donald Trump approached the microphones to give his victory speech, Maddow broke in to give Americans a foretaste of how the media will cover Trump's 2024 campaign.
At this point in the evening, the projected winner of the Iowa caucuses has just started giving his victory speech. We will keep an eye on that as it happens. We will let you know if there's any news made in that speech, if there's anything noteworthy, something substantive and important. The reason I'm saying this is, of course, there is a reason that we and other news organizations have generally stopped giving an unfiltered live platform to remarks by former President Trump. It is not out of spite. It is not a decision that we relish. It is a decision that we regularly revisit. And honestly, earnestly, it is not an easy decision. But there is a cost to us as a news organization of knowingly broadcasting untrue things. That is a fundamental truth of our business and who we are. And so his remarks tonight will not air here live. We will monitor them and let you know about any news that he makes.
Having lost nearly all credibility through the media's coverage of the Trump-Russia collusion hoax and the Hunter Biden laptop story, Maddow has tipped us off to the media's new tactic, lies by omission. The media will curl into a collective fetal position and simply pretend Trump doesn't exist as they neurotically rock back and forth. They will pretend Trump is not winning massive victories against his Republican rivals, who themselves would poll better than Biden if they were to run in the 2024 general election. For the terrified minions of the press, Trump is the resurrected Attila the Hun. A description of Attila by 5th-century Greek diplomat Priscus Panium is noteworthy. Quote, he, Attila, was a man born into the world to shake the nations, the scourge of all lands, who in some way terrified all mankind by the dreadful rumors noised abroad concerning him. He was haughty in his walk, rolling his eyes hither and thither, so that the power of his proud spirit appeared in the movement of his body. Unquote. Notice that description of Attila centers exclusively on the, quote, dreadful rumors noised abroad concerning him, unquote. The mainstream media hopes to craft a narrative of Trump as the barbarian destroyer throughout the 2024 campaign. But the media forgets how angry Americans are with Washington's poisonous and barbaric status quo. It never occurs to them that destruction of that corrupt power structure is exactly what makes Trump so attractive to average, decent, and normal Americans. One of Rachel Maddow's Election Eve co-hosts, Joy Reid, knew who to blame for Trump's Iowa victory.
But, you know, I feel like the important sort of data point is that these are white Christians, that this is a state that is overrepresented by white Christians that are going to participate in these caucuses,
yes.
Especially tonight.
The white evangelical Christians of Joy Reid's fevered imagination are not, as she would have us believe, the enemies of civilization. Rather, they are the salt of the earth. They have found a champion in the orange, unsaintly Trump because the tangential ladies and gentlemen of the Republican Party lost the will to fight. These weak Republicans see cowardly compromise as the only answer to the Democrats' political and social iniquities. The moral compass of evangelicals predisposes them to reject the vile and ridiculous agendas of the media's cultural elites. But they are only a small part of the disaffected now flocking to Trump. None other than arch-leftist director Michael Moore had this to say about Trump voters and what to expect on Election Day this November.
They're not racist and rednecks. They're actually pretty decent people. And so I wanted to sort of, after talking to a number of them, I wanted to write this. And Donald Trump came to the Detroit Economic Club and stood there in front of the Ford Motor executives and said, if you close these factories as you're planning to do in Detroit and build them in Mexico, I'm going to put a 35% tariff on those cars when you send them back and nobody's going to buy them. It was an amazing thing to see. No politician, Republican or Democrat, had ever said anything like that to these executives. And it was music to the ears of people in Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. You live here in Ohio, you know what I'm talking about. Whether Trump means it or not is kind of irrelevant because he's saying the things to people who are hurting. And it's why every beaten down, nameless, forgotten working stiff who used to be part of what was called the middle class loves Trump. He is the human Molotov cocktail that they've been waiting for. The human hand grenade that they can legally throw into the system that stole their lives from them. And on November 8th, Election Day, although they've lost their jobs, although they've been foreclosed on by the bank, next came the divorce, and now the wife and kids are gone, the car's been repoed, they haven't had a real vacation in years, they're stuck with the shitty Obamacare bronze plan where you can't even get a fucking Percocet. They've essentially lost everything they had, except one thing. The one thing that doesn't cost them a cent and is guaranteed to them by the American Constitution, the right to vote. They might be penniless, they might be homeless, they might be fucked over and fucked up. It doesn't matter because it's equalized on that day. A millionaire has the same number of votes as the person without a job. One. And there's more of the former middle class than there are in the millionaire class. So on November 8th, the dispossessed will walk into the voting booth, be handed a ballot, close the curtain, and take that lever or felt pen or touchscreen and put a big fucking X in the box by the name of the man who has threatened to upend and overturn the very system that has ruined their lives. Donald J. Trump. They see that the elites who ruined their lives hate Trump. Corporate America hates Trump. Wall Street hates Trump. The career politicians hate Trump. The media hates Trump after they loved him and created him and now hate him. The enemy of my enemy is who I'm voting for on November 8th. Yes, on November 8th, you, Joe Blow, Steve Blow, Bob Blow, Billy Bob Blow, all the blows get to go and blow up the whole goddamn system because it's your right. Trump's election is going to be the biggest fuck you ever recorded in human history. And it will feel good.
That concludes this edition of the More Than Right podcast. If you feel so inclined, please like and subscribe to the podcast. Until next time, this is Steve Lopez.